This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. We're continuing our collaboration with the folks from the Freedom Film Network, revisiting past films that were made over the last two decades, which tackle various human rights issues right here in Malaysia. So today we're revisiting a fairly recent film from 2020, Petani Bukan Pemalas, which gives us an insight into the struggles being faced by paddy farmers right here in Malaysia, who are faced with declining harvests and rising costs and an exploitative system. So joining me to discuss what exactly this exploitative system is the film's director, Nur Fitri Amir bin Mohammed. He's also an activist and a researcher, and he's the coordinator with the Malaysian Food Sovereignty Forum. Welcome, Fitri. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm good.
Thank you so much for joining me today. So as I mentioned, I keep calling you either Fitri or Amir, so bear with me. Let's get to know you a bit better. So as I mentioned, you're a researcher, social activist, coordinator for the Malaysia Food Sovereignty Forum or Forum Kedaulatan Makanan Malaysia. Tell me a little bit about this organization and all the different things that you're advocating for.
So Forum Kedaulatan Makanan Malaysia or Food Sovereignty Forum is it is a platform actually for discussion and actions on issues of food sovereignty and also food security. Mm-hmm. So most of the people talking about food security is, I mean, the viability of the food and also whether we could afford to buy the food or whether the food is suitable for us. Mm-hmm. Culturally or in the nutrition values.
Okay.
But sovereignty is also on the producer of the food, on the issues of the producer, the farmers. Yeah. Mm. So it's not just security, but sovereignty, the farmers' rights. I mean, you all know, even though all of us eat rice, but the farmers, even though all the rice that they produce, sold in the market, because every day Malaysian eat rice. Mm-hmm. And the rice produced by our country is not enough. It's just around 70%. Mm-hmm. So by calculation, so the farmer should be rich, isn't it?
You think?
Because
yeah.
Their produce is sold out.
Yeah.
But what happened is it is not what the reality is not. It's not that. So sovereignty also about farmers' rights. It's about back to nature. Is about accessibility, and actually this film is about that. It's about sovereignty to the farmers. Yeah.
Okay, I mean, very important work. You know, we do know that our farmers sometimes are being exploited, as you know, as this film shows. I'm just curious, Amir, you know, why were these issues important to you? How did you actually get involved in these sorts of in these areas of work?
Yeah. Before this, mm-hmm. since in the universities, I already involved with civil society movement.
Yeah, okay.
on environmental issues, on social issues, and one day I got some invitations from a friend, yeah, to do a research on paddy and rice industry. I have no information on paddy and rice industry at that time.
Sure.
So beginning of when I do the research, so I found out that actually farmers is actually have really big issues. That's how I get involved. So I'm not just doing research like anybody for researchers from the universities do. They just really focus on their objective. They do questionnaire, and then after the research they produce reports. But I think I need to do more. It's not just interviewing them and knowing what the situation is and suggest solutions. No, it will be kept in the library of the universities. Mm-hmm. No, nobody sees.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So then I discussed with other friends in the civil society, and then we need to do something because my nature is activism. So from there, then I think we need to do more than just a report. Yeah?
Okay.
So we actually, based on the report, to advocate, I mean, the findings of the report. Okay. One of the important findings of the report is that farmers actually earn around 600 to 700 ringgits per month.
Only, yeah?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, because they feel the farmers feels that they got, when they receive their harvest, when they receive the payment of the harvest, they got 5,000 ringgit or 6,000 ringgit.
Okay.
But they forgot that it is for the 6 months time of the harvest.
Oh.
Yeah. So okay. So when you divide it, it's by 6 months, you know, you got just 700 or 600 ringgit.
Mm.
So farmers actually has been used to borrowing money before they got their produce to be bought by the rice factories,
mm-hmm.
and then they pay back. So they are in this vicious circles of borrowing and paying, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
That most of the farmers is get involved in that ecosystem. So that's the starting point of our campaign. So the farmers who produce foods for our country, who produce foods to the peoples in Malaysia, is actually the most not being taken well off.
Taken care of. Huh?
They actually sacrifice themselves by absorbing higher cost of inputs, agricultural inputs, like seeds, the price going up every year, the fertilizer, and some of them use, of course, most of them actually use what we call racun,
pesticides. Pesticides, yeah? Yes.
Yeah, pesticides. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So with the price of rice controlled at 2 ringgit and 60 cent, has been since the 90s. Yeah.
Okay.
You can imagine that the price is going up. So who do you think absorbed it? Absorbed the inflation. So the farmers is actually feeding other people who work in the offices with cheap rice. So the farmers are actually feeding them because the farmers actually got less and less income over the years. So this is a serious issue. Then maybe we can talk later on the subsidies on how it's actually not helping the farmers much.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Sure. We'll do that. And so these are sort of some of the issues that you bring up in the film Petani Bukan Pemalas, right? I mean, your research sort of informed what was happening in the film. Tell me a little bit. Let's just talk a little bit about the title itself, right? So Petani Bukan Pemalas, which means farmers are not lazy, right? Was there some sort of misconception that they were lazy that you were trying to counter? Who were accusing them of being lazy?
Yeah, there are many people that actually is accusing them to be lazy, especially our politicians. Yeah? So I read many reports. Academic reports and also news reports saying that the farmers must change their way of doing things. You know, farmers actually must improve and etc. Yeah? And then I found out that actually they did not understand what are the farmers facing. Yeah.
Right.
So this notion of farmers are lazy. And also, most of the padi farmers are coincidentally Malay. So, you know, the famous books, Dilema Melayu, written by Tun Mahathir. Eh?
Yes.
So, he specifically referring Malay in the paddy area, the padi farmers, as lazy. Yeah, because that is what they are doing. I mean, they are planting the rice and then they wait for 6 months and then they're just selling the produce and then they got money. So in their mind, that's why you can see that the farmers has many other things they do culturally, you know, like in between the planting and the harvesting, they got some time. So, you know, culturally, they got some events, they are playing kites, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's seen as them being lazy in the eyes of, I don't know, I mean, this politician, also this some researchers, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that is not the case, actually. Mm-hmm. That is definitely not the case, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially in this modern era, in this era of modern farming, yeah. Everything's about paddy is actually control. So farmers actually doesn't have control of what they are doing. The supply of seeds given to a certain company by concessions. Eh?
Okay.
So the subsidies is not given to the farmers for the seed. Eh? The subsidy is given to the company. So the company is producing the seeds by subsidies from the government, and then they sell back retail price, they said cheaper, yeah, to the farmers. So that's one thing. So the farmers cannot choose. They got, in the documentary, you see that Azhar doesn't have any choices. So at last, he back to the traditional thing of doing farming. So he processed his own seeds. He doesn't want to being dependent to the seed produced by these corporates. Yeah. So that's one thing. What the farmer, the limitation that farmers has. And the second thing is the fertilizer. It's only one producer. The whole Malaysia. Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it has been for many, many years. I mean, maybe 20, 30 years. So the farmers doesn't have choice.
It's a monopoly, lah, pretty much.
Yeah, it's the monopoly.
Okay.
So when the governments or when the researchers, intellectuals says that why farmers doesn't have increase in their produce, in their harvest, in the yield, right? So they actually miss this information. They doesn't have control of the seed. They doesn't have a control of the fertilizer, and also on the chemicals. If the farmers want to change, I mean, to organic or to something that may be proven to produce higher yield, they cannot do that. Simply, they cannot do that. They must have some isolated land far away from the from others that use pesticide, because they're sharing the same irrigation.
Sure.
Yeah. So the system is there. So the farmers, I said to my friends, you know, they are actually like zombies being used by this corporation in the name of food security, in the name of farmers. So this corporation is actually sucking subsidies out of the name of farmers. So when the yield is not that high, when our food security, our self-sufficient is not 100%, the blame goes to the farmers. It's not goes to this ecosystem, to the system. So the misconception of petani bukan pemalas. So this film is one to portray Azhar. You can see in the documentary, early in the morning, before 6 o'clock, he out to the field to do his works. And then in the evening, come back, and he also has so many things to do. And also when he sell his harvest, when the harvest times come and he sold to the factory, the monopoly of the rice industry, I mean the rice wholesale industry, and also rice millers, is also squishing farmers. They doesn't have demand. I mean, they cannot demand the price. Like any other farmers, like durian farmers, you know, because the ecosystem is not really controlled. I mean, so they can set the price. Of course, recently, when most of the price, when most of the durian being export, and more monopolies come in, so they become the different story. But paddy farmers doesn't have control of the paddy that they sold to the factory. So whatever the factory said, the price is this, the price is this. I mean, the price is controlled price, 1,200 ringgit per ton.
Okay.
But the margin is on the deduction rate. Deduction rate is the net weight of the paddy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when you sell the paddy, the paddy got moisture, the paddy got empty husk and you know all that. So usually the factory will cut the weight of the paddy. So that deduction rate is actually not in the farmer's control. So before this, there are many factories. In one area, there may be 3 or 4 factories that farmers can choose. So there are competitions between the mill, the millers. So the farmers actually have demand. They can choose whichever factories that give them better price. Yeah? So now, Bernas in since 25 years ago, they has changed the ecosystem with the monopoly of import, rice importation. So they got that power to control the wholesaler. The wholesaler control the millers, the factory. So over time, I mean, more and more factory being closed. Yeah? So in one area, you can see that maybe one, just one factory that monopolized. So the farmers get squeezed from the inputs level and also from the output level. So they just being something that they just work, and they have no control. So how can you say they are lazy? So that's the answer.
Okay, they're basically trapped in a cycle of poverty because, like you said, they have no options, right?
Yeah, okay.
All right, let's just go for a quick break, Fitri. And when we come back, let's talk about Azhar himself and his story. I'm speaking today to Nur Fitri Amir bin Mohammed. He's a film director, he's an activist and researcher. He's a coordinator for the Malaysia Food Sovereignty Forum. We're talking about his 2020 film, Petani Bukan Pemalas, which gives us a real insight into the struggles faced by paddy farmers right here in Malaysia. As Fitri has been explaining, you know, all the different monopolies, how the farmers are caught in between without any sort of like way of getting out of this cycle of poverty. We'll continue that discussion after this quick break. You're listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs. Joining me today is Nur Fitri Amir bin Mohammed. He's the film director of the film Petani Bukan Pemalas. He's also an activist and a researcher. He's the coordinator for the Malaysia Food Sovereignty Forum. Petani Bukan Pemalas is a 2020 film which gives us a look into the struggles being faced by paddy farmers right here in Malaysia who are faced with declining harvest, rising costs and an exploitative system which they can't seem to get out of. So before the break, Fitri was explaining, you know, why farmers are caught in the middle of this system. You know, there's a monopoly there. There's no sort of room for them to maneuver to get out of this poverty. I'm just curious, Fitri. I mean, the last 2 years have been a real struggle for everyone. And we know that I think from a 2018 article, I was reading that about 90% of paddy farmers are in debt. Is that an accurate description? And is that, you know, continuing even now?
Yeah. Debt in the farmers in the paddy farmers community is usual. I mean, it's not something unusual.
Okay.
Because when you want to start a planting, you need some some seed money. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You need to invest. So where do you get that money? So usually these farmers borrow from others. Yeah, other people.
Sure.
Surely they cannot borrow from the bank. So which bank you actually can give money to paddy farmers to start their planting?
Right.
So they will borrow from the middleman. So they will borrow from rich person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So usually this rich person, they call it broker. So they are the broker. So and the debt is actually accumulating when the harvest is not that good. I mean, so when the harvest is not good, so there are no profit, so the debt will be accumulated in the, they doesn't have any bank account, so the debt is actually in a book. So usually there are, it is one book, so most of the family, the book is by family,
okay,
because the book will be inherited to the son when the father's died.
Oh,
so the son actually need to pay the debt or the fathers.
So it's intergenerational debt, pretty much.
Yeah. This is generational debt.
Okay.
So they cannot go out, get out of this problem until they got some a huge harvest. So they can pay all the debt and they can be free from the debt. And they cannot really rely on paddy farming's activity only. So most of the farmers are actually doing second job. So during the pandemics, even though the paddy farming is not restricted, meaning they still can be out, they are listed as essential industry, essential sector.
Mm-hmm.
They still can go, can do farming, but they cannot do their second job. So their income has been reduced to just depending on the harvest of the paddy. So that's where the problem comes. Eh?
Okay.
So most of the paddy farmers, they are also fishermen. Casually, they will go to the sea to catch fish and sell. And they are also vendors. Not vendors, what do you call it? They sell foods in the streets.
Okay. Hawkers, oh, store, right? Hawkers, yeah. Right.
Yeah, food hawkers vendors. And they do what we usually say as kerja kampung. I mean, kerja kampung is sometimes people call them to repair the house, sometimes cutting the grass, sometimes, you know. So that's many odd jobs they're doing.
Right.
So
clearly not lazy.
Surely they're not lazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So this is what they do. So the second job restriction by the PKP, by the MCO, actually reducing their income. And that's why they cannot pay their debt, because usually the income from the paddy farming that I said before, around 700 ringgit, it's not enough. So that's the problem, actually.
Okay. So like you said, generational debt, there's no way of them to get out of it, and it just continues. And there's no sort of like protection at all, right? If at all, afforded by the government to them?
Of course, they are. Yeah? Mm-hmm. But maybe I can explain. Tell you.
Yeah.
On the subsidy side, yeah?
Yeah, story of the subsidies. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Each year, subsidy to the paddy and rice industry is the biggest, in agriculture. It's around 1.9 billion.
Okay.
Sometimes it's up to 2 billion, yeah?
Okay.
So it is not all for the farmers, yeah? It is for everything. The infrastructure, the irrigations, and also the roads in the paddy field. Eh?
Okay.
And also all the incentive in the seeds, on the fertilizer, on the pesticides is in there.
Okay.
But actually, only around, I have done the calculation, but it's around 14% or 15% of the subsidies given to paddy and rice industry, got to the farmer's pocket, got into the farmer's pocket.
Okay.
So others, it is not directly goes to the farmers, it goes to the vendors. The vendor is like, is the company that get concessions to supply all these things.
So when you say these things, what do you mean by these things? Maybe you can explain what these things are.
Yeah, these things is farming input, like the seeds, the fertilizer, and the pesticides, herbicides, and also the machinery.
Okay.
Yeah, the machinery, the tractor and all that. Of course, farmers cannot buy a tractor. It's not feasible. It's not logic. It's not practical to buy a tractor just to do farmings, to plow the lands one in six months. Mm. So there's actually rent the tractor from vendor. So there are subsidies on the tractor, but it go directly to the vendor, to the owner of the tractors.
Okay, I understand. Okay, so again, even though it's billions of dollars, the amount that trickles down to the farmers is really very small.
Yeah, but the perception, the perceptions is that farmers get everything, 100%. So there are even one news report that I read, say that the what else that the farmers want. they got everything. Yeah, the government has sponsored them as much as 2 billion. So what else that they are making noise of? So I'm really upset reading this news, because clearly they doesn't know what's happening in the industry.
And I think that's where your film's protagonist, Azhar, comes into play, right? I mean, he fully explains the day-to-day struggles and the sort of debt and the sort of costs that are involved in the work that he does. Can you maybe very quickly tell our listeners about Azhar, how you met him, and what exactly his story is about?
Yeah, when I start our campaign... Mm-hmm. We started in Alustar, actually. It's an assembly. Yeah? So we start with an assembly to discuss what the farmers are facing. Then After that, we continue with roadshow. We're going to Perak and we're going to Malacca, Johor and all other states. So Azhar is from Perak. So I met them. I met him in one of these roadshows. So he is clearly a farmer that are not lazy because he does all sort of things. He's not just planting rice in their own his own land, but he's also have a business minded thinking of renting other lands to be work on to increase his income, and he's also borrowing money from his siblings that doesn't want to work in the paddy field. And he asked some money to support him. So his siblings actually collected money and he bought a tractor. So from the tractor, he's also ran it to other farmers. So obviously, Azhar is not lazy. He's not someone who doesn't have entrepreneurship thinking. He got.
Sure.
So this character is interesting for me to explore because most of the farmers has been portrayed as they are not active. They cannot think out of the box, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they just do their things, do farming. So Azhar is different. But with all the courage, with all the intelligent, I mean, the smart thinking of Azhar, that Azhar got, he's also being pushed down by the upper hand. He cannot go out. I mean, with all the entrepreneurship, with all the effort that he's done, he's still been in the same level. Maybe he's not in the same level as most of the farmers because he's obviously he's doing much and he gained much. But the point is, why I choose Azhar? Because he's some antithesis to the petani pemalas itself. So Azhar is explaining that I've done everything and I have also produced my own seed. But with all this regulation, with all this monopoly, I cannot get out of my circle. So that's the point that I want to make with Azhar. So Azhar, after I have a discussion with him, so he's also becoming an activist now. Yep. It's not just farmers. Mm-hmm. So he has a realization that he need to voice out. So when he voice out, then peoples in power will see and will hear. And he hope that changes will happen. He's actually proved it because he's the one who met the minister twice. When the minister came to his village, to his area, to give some speech or some prasmian, so he has the courage to go onto the stage without being invited. to send to the minister letters and also memorandums and all that. So Azhar is the right person to be portrayed. And as you can see in the film, he's an active person. He's willing to do whatever it takes, not just for himself, but also for other farmers. So that's how I met Azhar.
Okay. And his story is really, really interesting. We'll find out, when we watch the film, we'll find out that he's been a farmer since he was 14 years old. You know, he had no choice because that generational sort of burden because his father passed away and then he had to take over, isn't it? So he clearly has a very good understanding of the system and how it works. He's been in that system for, more than 30 years, isn't it? He's only in his 50s now. So, he's a great example of somebody who is trying to fight the system. Not lazy at all, as you said, but still not able to get out of it because of all these sorts of monopolies and all these sorts of other things that are in play, which he cannot get, which he cannot fight for. Or he's trying to fight for, but he hasn't actually been successful in doing so yet. Am I correct?
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So the film was released in 2020. I know it was screened and it was right at the time of the pandemic, of course, but it did make it to some film festivals, I think in the US, the Southeast Asia Seattle Film Festival. What sort of feedback did you receive from the viewers who saw the film?
Yeah, most of the viewers actually, it is a shock for them.
Yeah, same here. Yeah. Same here.
Yeah, same as you, eh?
Yeah. I was like, paddy, really? Like, you know, it's such a staple here. Rice is a staple. And this is what, they're so clueless, you know. Sorry. But yeah, thank you for doing this film. Sorry, carry on. I interrupted you.
Yeah, because Malaysians doesn't know what really happened. What they see is just a packet of rice in the supermarket. If they want to eat rice, they just go to the supermarket. And they just buy rice at a very cheap price.
Yeah.
They doesn't know that the cheap price is actually killing the farmers. Of course, when I said it will be controversial, as I said, increase the price of rice today. So maybe tomorrow will be revolution, eh? Because rice is a staple food.
Exactly.
But government must do something. You know, not just letting the farmers actually having the burden. Increasing cost of doing farming year after years.
Yeah.
Of course, the subsidy is there. The subsidies is increasing year after year, but it's not going to the farmer's pocket. So most of the audience that watch the film, so they feel that this is a new thing. This is like a new reality that they doesn't know. What they see is just rice in the supermarket and the beautiful paddy field.
Yeah.
Whenever they come across the North-South Expressway, you can see the paddy field. So you can see the farmers must be really happy. You know, the place is really tranquil. No, but they don't know that the farmers day to day they are struggling to think that if it is enough, will the harvest be enough for them to make it at the next 6 months? Not that, yeah. That the next 30 days. It's the next 6 months, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the money is enough. So, like I said, it's not that simple. I mean, it's not that you go to the supermarket and then you're buying rice and then you go to the paddy field, you're taking pictures. So now when they watch the film, every time they're taking pictures in the paddy field, every time when they go to the restaurants, you know, most of the people didn't finish the meals.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
They doesn't have any guilt to throw away the foods. Yeah.
Yeah.
So now they know that this is the hearts. It's not that simple to produce rice on your plates. Yeah.
Yeah. And is that what you want Malaysians to take away, from watching this film? I mean, what do you want Malaysians to realize, you know, about the struggles of our Malaysian paddy farmers?
Yeah. First of all, they must respect farmers. Yeah. Don't look down on them.
Mm.
Because in other countries, especially in Korea, in Japan, yeah, farmers are looking, people look farmers as a very important person. Yeah. They respect farmers because this country is facing war, facing famine. So they know farmers actually producing food for them. Yeah. So in our country, even though we are also facing war, but it's not as much as the ordeal faced by those countries. So I know that this is the background of our country. That we didn't see farmers as much important, yeah.
Yeah.
And also, when the price of rice is cheap here, so we didn't see it is as much as important to support farmers' struggle. So sometimes people like to buy imported rice, yeah, from imported, not just specialty rice from India like basmati or any other rice from Japan or whatever.
Mm.
But the white rice, I mean, the regular rice.
Yeah, yeah.
We imported from Vietnam, we imported from Thailand, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we think that the imported rice is in the higher quality of the local rice, but they're actually being deceived by the advertisement, actually, yeah.
Okay.
Because the rice is same, actually. And actually, the imported white rice from Vietnam or Thailand, it actually is old rice. It's not new.
Oh.
Because the transportation will took months, you know.
Okay.
It is just when they arrive here, it has been polished back. So from brown color, it's looking really shiny white. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So they thought it is in the higher quality, but they have been deceived by that. So actually, local rice has more quality than the imported one. It's obviously it's fresher because it's new. Yeah, it's just 6 months. It's just harvested, and then the next month it can be in the market.
Okay.
So I hope that with this film, the viewers will have more information on the farmers, on the paddy farmings, and will be sympathy to them in their struggles, and not having this mentality of accusing them from being lazy, from being not innovative. Yeah?
Yeah.
So they must understand that the farmers have their circumstances, have their limitation. Everybody got their limitation, no?
Yes.
Even those businessmen or those working in the office, they got the limitation. They cannot go further because of this limitation. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So same as the farmers, and their case is worse. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they doesn't have voice. So I hope viewers can be the voice of the farmers. You can write cartoon. There are one cartoonist making comics out of this film. So he's mentioned petani bukan pemalas in the cartoon. Yeah. So okay. it's great. And then there are students writing posting in Facebook, in Twitter, and also in blogs about these films. And the journalists, yeah, writing about this film is actually won an award.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
Yeah, writing on this the
issue,
a local award, yeah,
okay,
writing on the issues. So obviously, it is seen as a new realization from most of the viewers.
Okay, all right. And what are you working on next, Fitri?
Actually, when you watch the film, it's not finished, right? I mean,
yeah.
it's stuck in the...
Yeah, it's sort of a cliffhanger, yeah.
Yeah, in the Putrajaya, right?
Mm-hmm.
So actually, I'm doing second film. I mean, the sequel of this, Petani Bukan Pemalas, it will be called Petani Bukan Pemalas 2.
Okay.
So it will be the continuation of this Petani Bukan Pemalas. So what's happened that next, after they go to Putrajaya and protest, and also maybe I can add here, the struggles of the farmers, I mean, what Azhar's done, Azhar's initiative of producing his own seed, processing his own seeds, maybe it is not the answer to the problem of the farmers because of a new regulation has been proposed by the Ministry of Agriculture.
Okay.
It is the new Plant Variety Protection Act because of we wanting to join the Union of Plant Variety Protection Conventions in France. Yeah.
Okay.
So this convention called UPOF, yeah, and the act called UPOF 1991 is actually forbidding farmers from saving, sharing, and selling seeds. Yeah, it is what Azhar done in the film. Yeah.
Okay.
So when Azhar frustrated with the ecosystem, with the seed sold at the retails, at the shops, yeah, agriculture shops. So his initiative is to process, to save seed, to process it by his own. Yeah, so he can use his own seed, but that will be illegal. I mean, he can be sued by the companies if you do that. Yeah, because of this new law has been proposed. So this is the stumbling block farmers having. Yeah,
okay.
After they got some initiative, I mean, got some ideas how to overcome the problem, they come the new blocks blocking them. So this is the next struggles that the farmers will have to fight, not letting Malaysia to join this convention. So this convention is actually, if you can imagine, if factories producing smartphones,
yeah,
they got monopoly rights of the smartphone. Anybody else cannot produce the same smartphone because it's been patented. Yeah.
Okay.
So this concept is they are some sort of patenting the seeds. So the seeds is it is the company's asset. The seed is company's asset. So it's not the farmers. So farmers only can buy, but they cannot save. So this new concept being introduced is not that new. It's from the 60s, but it's obviously it's not in line with the farmers' right to save, share, and sell seeds. Malaysia is not members of this UPOF convention. Most of the members of this UPOF convention is the developed country, like Japan, America, European countries. Yeah.
Okay.
So we have our own law. Currently, our own law did not prohibit farmers from saving, sharing, and selling seeds. Yeah.
Okay.
But this new law, will prohibit farmers from doing that traditional things. So, my second film, Petani Bukan Pemalas, will also cover this new law facing farmers. Yeah.
All right, so we'll look forward to hearing more from you. We're definitely going to catch up and find out more about UPOF and find out more about all of these things. We'll catch up with Fitri, of course. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I've been speaking to Nur Fitri Amir bin Muhammad. He's a film director, activist and researcher. He's a coordinator for the Malaysia Food Sovereignty Forum. His film, Petani Bukan Pemalas, is set to be screened at next week's Film It, Change It event, which is taking place at PJLA in Jaya 1. So this is an in-person event, and aside from this film, you can also catch Meniti Senja by Lily Fu and Ayaku Dr. G by Zhou Yi and Hidayah Hisham. They're all films that were produced by the recipients of the Freedom Film Fest grant, like Fitri himself. You'll be able to meet him and the other filmmakers there and find out more about their films and the impacts it has made. And of course, you know, I'm sure, Amir, you're open to questions and for people to find out more, right? Again, you know, if you'd like to catch his film, just head to PJLA on Tuesday, the 17th of May. But don't worry, if you can't make it to the event, all three films will be released on the Freedom Film Festival's YouTube channel right after the event. For more information, just head to freedomfilm.my or follow them on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And Amir, you know what? Where can we find out more about the work that the forum does?
Yeah, you can go to the forum Facebook.
Okay.
Just type Forum Kedaulatan Makanan or foodsovereignty.malaysia.
Okay. Yeah,
you can find all the activities or the forums. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much again for speaking with me today. I've been speaking to Nur Fitri Amir bin Muhammad, film director, activist and researcher and coordinator of the Malaysia Food Sovereignty Forum. If you miss any part of today's interview, you can always download the podcast at bfm.my/learn or you can find it on the BFM app. This has been Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.